Hello and welcome to the Two Fat Brokers podcast. Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
Rowan from Dubai.
And today we are talking about the UAE property boom. Are real estate brokers drowning in success?
In their G-classes?
In their G-wagons. Drowning in their G-wagons. Can you drown in money? Maybe.
Suffocate. Scrooge McDuck just swam through it.
Suffocate in money? Yeah. I mean, are you, so, you know,
crushed by pennies.
You guys, I mean, people who you've known from before, the market 2015 to 2020 was very tough, you know, and you lived through that. Obviously, there's a lot of new brokers who've come along who don't know anything about that. All they can, you know, all they know is that market's going up and success. The old guard, let's start with you, Bon. The old guard, people who came through with you. The old people.
Old people's homes. Just say it.
Yeah. You know, are they drowning in success, those people?
I think the connotation of drowning in success is quite a negative one. But yes, they are. No.
Big houses and flash cars.
Like I say, drowning in success is quite a negative connotation.
It is.
Yes, there have been some brokers who have weathered the storm, who have come out the other side much better financially off than they were before. I am one of them, right? I make no bones about the fact that I was months away from leaving Dubai not long ago because we just weren't making any money. And thankfully, you know, I managed to stick it out and do enough business. And, you know, you've come out the other side and, you know, the transactions now that have been done have blown previous records out the water. I mean, I think, you know, there was Chris Boswell's record on the Palm of 185 million stood for God knows how long. Now,
donkey's years?
Many mules years.
Ass years.
I was trying not to say that. Fair enough. And, you know, now those records are being broken for fun. So, you know, with that level of the market burgeoning, the success comes from the brokers who are, one, good enough, and two, long enough in the tooth to have made a success out of it. That said, there are some agents who, you know, who've got lucky and made a lot of money, and more power to them if you're doing it the right way.
Got lucky?
Got lucky.
Lucky? Naming no names, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to use a story that I heard recently, but, you know, there are stories of kids who are struggling, and then they happen upon a lead somehow and manage to close a transaction way above their pay grade, you know, and that to me is getting lucky. There's always an element of being in the right place at the right time, and you creating your own luck. But there are also elements of, you know, some guy's just made himself 4.5 million dirhams commission, having, you know, been scrabbling around for, you know, 5, 10, 15,000 dirhams a month commission. So, you know, that in itself, drowning in success. Yeah.
Is it modern day panning for gold? Being a real estate broker, is it just, you know, you're standing in a river, you know, doing this thing, and you know, and boom, you just come out with a massive gold nugget? Is that how you see it?
I don't think so. I think that's the way the industry maybe wants people to see it. So everyone gets involved, and every conversation within 10, 20 seconds is about a house which you should have bought, or you're going to buy, or what your friend bought, or what your aunt is going to buy, right? So it's, I think it's part of the whole equation of real estate. We just want this, we want everyone to talk about it, because the odds are then there'll be more buyers, right? So the market keeps going. And that's also a way of marketing stuff, I guess. I mean, there are what, 30, 40,000 registered brokers? I think something. I mean, it's a massive
not
number.
Not that many, I think.
But then every next person, people come up saying, oh, I've got this person who wants to buy a house or buy an apartment. I'm going to connect you. All right, great. And, you know, thanks for the referral. Oh, no, but I want half of that commission. I said, but you're passing me a lead as a friend, because it's what I do. I mean, you're a contract. If I give you a contact, I don't want half the money you're making off that guy, right? I guess there's a factor of greed as well, right? It's
that's the drowning in money connotation, kind of, isn't it?
But
it's
that's
you're making so much money.
What they're spending their money on gives them necessarily a bad rep.
But also, is there Because if you think about, and a contractor is a good example, right? So let's say the construction market's booming and, you know, your friend who's a contractor is making loads of money. People are generally pretty happy for him. Oh, you know, he's started his own business and, you know, he's doing the work and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think there's the same connotation with real estate brokers, right? There is this, you're making loads of money, you know, stealing a living, you know, you don't deserve it. You haven't worked for it. Is Monday gold panning? You just got lucky and you found this 4.5 million dirhams in, you know, in a river you were standing
you
in.
Door. Why should you make $1 million commission?
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get the
I would always challenge anything like that. For the person that is intelligent enough to make a comment like that, walk a month in our shoes. You know, walk a day in a business where people talk to you. You know, thankfully I'm the old guard and people talk to me with a little bit more respect these days because of all the grey hairs, I would imagine.
But the glasses help.
You get spoken to like you are, I'm going to say it, a piece of shit, right? And that they see this, remember we spoke about it, right? The locksmith's dilemma.
Yes.
Dilemma?
Paradox?
Paradox.
Something like that. Yeah.
You know, they don't see...
What is the locksmith's paradox?
So the locksmith's paradox is you can either pay a locksmith who's got 20 years experience to turn up, you get locked out of your house, change your lock, bang, you're in, took him 10 minutes. And you pay him the same amount of money as the guy that turns up and takes 45 minutes to an hour to change your lock, but they still get the same amount of money. But you want to pay the guy who took less time, less money, because he was better at his job.
You don't want to pay him less money.
No, you think he's worth less money.
Yeah, because he didn't take the time.
Yeah.
And that's what people say about real estate agents. You didn't take the time. You know, it didn't take you a long time to sell this property. Therefore, I don't think you're worth the money because people equate a lot hard work with remuneration as opposed to, you know, efficiency with remuneration.
But I think, you know, the whole drowning in money is you see real estate agents driving around in Lamborghinis and, you know, crazy holidays and crazy watches and turkey teeth and, you know.
Is that what they're called? Turkey teeth?
I those beautiful shiny ones that turkeys reflect
don't actually
light.
Have teeth.
Yeah. Well, no, you get them in Turkey.
I know. I know what you were talking about.
I got you for a minute. I was like, I got it.
Worked on so many levels. Turkey teeth. Wow.
I think the probably the more vulgar things that people see real estate agents spending their money on makes people a bit annoyed because, you know, the money that you can earn as a real estate agent with little to no training, you know, just experience, it far exceeds what you can earn in other professions that have taken you four or five years to get your master's degree, whatever it is, you know, to be able to do those jobs. So I can understand people's dislike of it, but also, you know, you're not in an industry where when you're going to your 9 to 5, where people are lying to you, people talk down to you, you know, people have zero respect for you and what you're trying to achieve because they think they're overpaying you for something. But they don't really understand the hardship sound like the right terminology now because of we're not going through hard times, but, you know, hardships in the past that real estate agents have had to go through.
Well, I mean, talking from yourself, I mean, you've got over 20, probably coming up for 30 years experience, you know, as an estate agent in the UK and here. So you're very kind of unusual. You know, there's a lot there's a lot more people. Well, I mean, you're
usually in a nice
you're
way,
still
right?
dense. So, okay. You know, there's that.
Back to type.
Yeah. But then probably people are more upset with, you know, the agents who haven't, you know, because you've done the hard yards, you've lived through the tough times, you know, and you know, like in any business, you've built your business and your referrals, and now you're reaping the rewards. And I don't think there's anyone who could say you don't deserve that. But there are people who would say, you know, there's other agents, and maybe these newer, younger agents who've just seen this like ridiculous, like booming economy, and they're the ones, you know, with no experience, no training, you know, who are making, you know, more money than people think that they should.
I mean, I think in a situation like this, you're probably actually very well placed to be able to answer these questions because your family and your friends all invest in real estate with real estate agents.
I was going to just say, I mean, a good way to compare it is he's the kind of guy who's been investing in, you know, let's say the stock market for the last 15 years, very conservative. He just wants to grow his money. He doesn't want to go. And then you've got these kids who just, you know, put $100,000 in crypto and they made 10 million.
Mm.
And they're just going, they don't know what to do with the money.
Yeah.
They'll eventually end up probably losing most of it, to be honest. But yeah, look,
but there's a difference with them, I think, because then they kind of risked their own money and they made their own money. The difference with real estate agents is someone pays you guys, well, us guys, right? So we're actually getting money from other people. And it's maybe those other people are like, why the hell am I paying this guy a million, you know, dirhams in commission? He just opened the door. And that's like where people's, you know, I guess, feeling that, you know, the real estate agents are drowning in money. It's ridiculous. It's like, you know, it's
You have to look at the other options, right? There's been a lot of platforms that have tried to be released out here and in the UK and I'm sure in the US where, you know, they try and remove the real estate agent from the market.
Ah, so many.
And none of them have worked.
Mm.
Where you've seen real estate companies go from strength to strength. That in itself is proof in the pudding that we are a necessary evil in any transaction.
True.
Right? And how do you know you're not using an expert negotiator when you're negotiating directly with a seller or a buyer? That's what we're here for. You pay us 2%, we save you 15. We've more than paid our own weight.
Yeah. I mean, there is that. And you see developers pay... you know, brokers commission for these off-plan projects. They see the value in brokers, not necessarily the skill or whatever is brokers, but the ability to generate leads, the ability, you know, to convince people that this project is worth money. And those guys, you know, they pay, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, plus percent for you know, the help of brokers, basically. Whereas if you're doing a transaction between two people, you're going to get, you know, at best 2% either side. So people are paying you 2%, but the developers, they're paying even more. So there is, you know, so there is a, what would you call it, a corporate sanctification, if you like, of brokers' ability and.
I mean, I think
their,
also
their need in the market.
You can't get too dragged into developers paying 4% because we all know that any broker is probably taking 50% of that and giving it back to their seller, their buyer.
No way.
So, you know, people go, well, you get paid so much money for the off-plan. You know, actually, a lot of these off-plan guys aren't making anywhere near as much money as they should be and they're owed because, you know, naughty little people decided they'll do business with you if you cross their palm with silver.
Mm.
Anyway, like I was saying, I wanted to talk to you because I know that your family, they deal with real estate agents a lot and your close network of friends. What's their opinion on real estate agents? And you can be honest.
I mean, look...
there's no right or wrong answer.
There's a mix of different sort of attitudes towards the industry and the people here. You've got some people, and I'm proud to say we for the longest time, and that's how we met because you were, you know, helping us with a lot of stuff back in the day, and we always stayed just committed to one or to, like, we had yourself, and then there was another lovely lady out in JG, and we said we're not gonna.
There was another person.
Yeah, handling it.
Did you know this?
She's not really.
The point was...
just very sick.
Go to one or two and trust them to filter out all the nonsense, right? Whether you're selling something or buying something. But then you have others where, like I've got helping a client now who are the friends, and the husband says, this is my budget, this is what I want. I said, okay, fine. Let's work within these parameters. And I tell everyone, my first or second thing is, use me or don't, but don't call every single person on Property Finder or on Dubizzle or on Instagram. Don't call every agent because you're just going to drown yourself. You're not going to get a good deal. You're going to mess it up for yourself. And I've seen that happen with a lot of people. And I think that's just the wrong way. But going back to your point, yeah, look, it's a mixed bag. You've got some people who are very committed who'll say, I trust your advice. I want to work with you. And then you've got people who'll say, I'm going to call you and I'm going to call every other person. I say, guys, if there's a listing online of a villa and you're going to call the 3-4 agents, that seller is going to think he's got 4 or 5 buyers. And that's something you kept telling me back in the day. I think we've definitely made the mistake as well when we were buying and selling stuff. Just go with it. I mean, if you've got investments, you're going to go to your private banker or your whoever it is, right? You're not going to go to 10 guys to put money in the market, you know.
But what do you think the consensus of the people that, you know, are specifically about, you know, a real estate agent earning too much money now?
I mean, everyone keeps saying, oh, you guys are making a lot of money. And there's this whole thing about every time someone gets a deal done, people talk about, oh, let's go have drinks, let's party. So that's not how it works. I mean, people are doing deals in all different facets of, you know, work. You don't just say, oh, you've just closed a big building as a contract, let's go party. I think it's the way, like, I think it's the way it's portrayed is that, yes, people feel like they're drowning in tons of cash. I don't think that's necessarily true, to be honest.
The Instagram life.
Yeah, because when you see people's accounts and then when you actually know who they are, it's a whole different world, right? It's a complete 180.
You have the Dubai bling effect, right? That was a lot of that was about property and real estate agents and stuff like that. But I think most of those real estate agents were wealthy to begin with.
Also, you know, you put a lot of money in the hands of a 22, 23, 24-year-old. They're going to go out and do crazy things with it. And they're going to put it on Instagram and it perpetuates these guys are earning way too much money. When in actual fact, they probably earned a couple hundred thousand dirhams, bought two watches, rented a Ferrari for a weekend, and now they're skint again. You know, most likely.
These are
guys that have no dependents. They have no financial commitments other than to themselves. And they want to go out and have a good time. They want to show it all on social media and have at it. It's your life, your money, you do what you want. I'm just saying from an external perspective, it doesn't show real estate agents in the right light.
I mean, what do you think about, because I had this conversation with an agent in Abu Dhabi and he just bought a Maserati on finance. He couldn't like afford it, brand new one. And he's like, I have to have this because when I turn up for a viewing, like I have to have like a very nice car because, you know, the people who I'm working with are, you know, of a certain level. I have to have, you know, the watch and the car or else, you know, they don't respect me. They don't think, you know, like, you know, that I'm making money, that I'm successful, and I need that. So I need to look flashy and like I'm drowning in cash, you know, to do deals. I mean, do you think that happens in Dubai?
I don't know.
It's a rhetorical question, obviously.
My view might be the other way around. I think a lot of people, when they see someone making too much money, might go, oh, wait, this guy's making too much money. I'm going to negotiate harder, or I'm going to pay him less, or I'm going to try and save money from, you know, take money out of his pocket, really. I kind of think the opposite. I mean, he
turns up in a Nissan Sunny and holds in his shoes.
Someone has set this precedent of coming in a nice car. Look, there's nothing wrong with it. You've earned it. You deserve it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. But I think...
It's a very difficult... I mean, again, slightly different topic. It's a very difficult balancing act to make because if you turn up in a car that's too flashy, people, like Rohan says, they're going to go, well, you're earning way too much money. You're obviously making too much money out of your clients. I'm a client. Hang on a minute. Let's not do business. But if you turn up in the Nissan Sunny, people are going to be like, okay, why are you not making any money in a market that's booming? So it's a really fine line, but it is one that, that if you crack it, works in your favor.
Because I think, and we've spoken about this before, particularly when you're dealing with very high net worth individuals, you need to be able to talk to them as an equal. Like you need to be able to talk and so that's more difficult if you're not a high net worth individual, which most brokers aren't. But you need to be able to talk to your clients as an equal because as soon as they see you as an inferior, you know, you don't have a chance of like closing with them. And for some people, they're like, okay, well, if I'm turning up to sell these, you know, hundreds of millions of dirhams houses, I've got to, you know, portray myself as an equal to my clients. So I have to have that look.
As an equal, but close.
Yeah, you're still in service sector, but you still have to look like you are someone who, you know, can talk to and interact and socialize with the people who you're selling to.
Yeah, but that's a skill private bankers have to do, right? Expensive lawyers, all of them.
Well, I think...
But you don't see them in cars and you only ever see them in blue or black suits with white shirts.
Yeah, I mean, I think for true professionals like lawyers and bankers, there's a lot, and accountants, there's a lot of respect that goes into their knowledge. So people like respect a lawyer, you know, even though, you know, they don't like lawyers, generally speaking, they respect their knowledge because they have a knowledge that other people don't have. And we've already said, like, everyone in Dubai thinks they know about real estate, right? And a lot of people think that, you know, brokers, you know, they're stealing a living, you know, they don't have the same training and, you know, degrees and all that kind of stuff that these other guys have. So that maybe there's something in that where the broker feels that they need to prove their worth to their clients by having all this flash gear that, you know, lawyers and accountants.
But a lot of the super wealthy don't have that flash gear.
Mm, yeah, right?
You know, the wealthiest people, what is it? Someone said the other day, rich shouts and wealth whispers or something. So the real wealth, they don't dress in Versace and
Yeah, but there's none of that in Dubai, right? It's all new money.
No.
You haven't got Land Rover money here, mate. It's all Maserati money.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah,
I mean... I'm big facetious,
you know this, mate. You know this, yeah. Because we know people that are close to us who dress like shit.
Close to us now.
Yeah, they dress like they slept in their clothes the night before. Mm. Because in their life, they have so much more important stuff to worry about. So if you turn up in your Fendi bag and your Manolo shoes and whatever it is, they're going to look at you and be like, okay, fine, whatever, move on, right? But also if you turn up in your linen shirt and your, you know, smartly pressed trousers and you just look casual, they don't really care how you dress, right? They care about the quality of the service that you give them. But if you turn up like a walking billboard, I'm sure they have their quiet opinion about you.
Yeah, I mean, but what I was saying before, someone like you with all that experience, you don't need, you know, all of these trappings, you know, you don't need that. But people
like
without that
experience...
You're
being suspiciously kind to me, Ben, at the moment.
I'm really trying to think when I say that, I'm really trying to think of an insult to add at the end, but I'm coming up.
Mate,
blank.
You're a Cambridge educated lawyer, you'll get
that. Yeah, I know, because you don't have such a flash car anymore. You know, you don't have
I've never had a flash car.
Come on, you had what was that? Porsche or something like that.
Oh, the Targa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's for the weekend.
Okay. Yeah, it's not flash. So I was trying to think of a flash car, but now you've got a Land Rover. It's like, you know, that's proper. That's an old money car.
Wealth whispers.
Yeah, there you go. But other people, they feel like, you know, they need to make an effort. They need to show.
They do.
Because they can't talk. If you can't convince, confuse.
That's so good, man. I've never heard that before. Yeah.
So obviously you guys are going to think, well, I mean, we're all going to think, oh no, real estate agents are not paid that much, and you know, are not overpaid, let's say. But
some of them are.
Yeah, I mean, how would you tell the two apart? The ones who are overpaid. How would you?
You can't tell them apart. You would know whether you've earned that money or not, right? It's an inner dialogue. Did I earn that money or did I just get lucky? You'll know. And at that point, you have to go, okay, well, is this agent worth his 2%? I don't know. Yeah. From an internal perspective, not, you know, I believe all real estate agents should be paid 2% or 5% if you're in rentals. That should be a mandated thing by the government. It should be, in my opinion, because it takes a whole different, you know, it takes the whole negotiation period or process to a whole new level when the guy knows what he's earning. Right, you know my 2% or my 5% is mandated. Now I can just focus on negotiating and getting you the right price rather than negotiating for myself and then negotiating for you. For starters, why, if I'm going to negotiate for you, are you trying to then undercut me to, you know, pay me what I'm worth and I'll negotiate hard for you? If I'm going to then roll over on my 2% the first negotiation, I'm going to be crap at negotiating for you where I've got no skin in the game, right? So...
Yeah, but I mean, there's the other argument where, you know, someone with 20 years experience, should they be getting more than 2%? And someone with 1 year experience, should they be getting less?
No, I think you all get two.
Yeah, but don't you think it's a really weird system where how much you get paid is mandated? Like, no one mandates how much lawyers get paid or accountants or whatever.
Yeah, the US real estate agents are mandated. Sorry, Karen.
No, I was saying, like... Fair point, but to add to that, if I'm going to go use a lawyer who's got 20 years experience, he's probably going to charge me $1,000 an hour. A guy who's got 2 years experience, I'm only paying him $150, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of relative as well. I mean, you know.
But that's my point. But if you're selling your house or buying a house from a guy with a year and a half's experience or 20 years experience, you're still paying him 2%.
You look at it conversely. A guy who's got 1 or 2 years experience is selling you a 1 or 2 bedroom in the marina. Yeah. The guy who's got 20 years experience is selling you, you know, 300 million dirham houses and 400 million dirham apartments. And there is your sliding scale for experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
I mean, look, having said
really
that,
nice.
There was a broker about 2 or 3 years ago who I met it was in Meadows and Springs, and I was trying to find something for a client. And a few weeks later, he's got a listing in Emirates Hills. I said, what are you doing? You're selling a 5 million dirham house or you're selling a 100 million dirham house? Because it's...
Well, he ain't selling the 100 million dirham one. Unless he gets lucky.
But of course, he said he had an offer on it. As he always knew. All right, good luck to you.
Right, I think we have We've worked out that the
Dubai brokers are overpaid and Abu Dhabi brokers are underpaid. I think that's the conclusion. Just to summarize.
Do you guys get paid 2% or more? Or
yeah, 2%. Yeah. Okay. Same as you guys. And it's actually mandated in law.
Before we wrap up, we've never really spoken about what life is like as an Abu Dhabi real estate agent. Are you guys, are your team making bank now? Are they super happy? Are they rolling around in brand new Maseratis or...
No. The market's positive. It's as positive as it's been in a long time.
But are you seeing different changes in real estate agents' behaviours because they're making more money? Obviously,
not my agents. Like we recruit a kind of a typically older, well educated, kind of set. Yeah, about probably most of our agents are between 35 and 50.
None of them coming in with the new, what are those bracelets with the little circly bits? What are they called?
Cartier love bracelets.
No. What are they called? Van Cleef and Arpels.
I don't know. But what we can see, so Aldar is our version of Emaar. So they have like a tiering system. So their top tier for this year has gone up from, I think, 600 million last year to a billion this year. So if you want to be top tier with Aldar, yeah, I think it's a billion. So clearly... not necessarily the prices going, but you know, there are some agencies out there doing a billion dirhams with Aldar, or expecting to do a billion dirhams this year. So you know, there is a lot of money to be made in the Abu Dhabi real estate market, particularly off plan. Secondary market not so much, but particularly off plan, it's huge.
Is there a potential to cross sell some of the stuff between Abu Dhabi and Dubai?
Dude, that's a conversation for another time.
And I'm going to leave it right there.
Not at 100
million. We have a referral agreement within the company. Actually, yeah. Interestingly, and this is something that people have asked me about before, this is my brother. So many people have said to me, that guy, he looks like you. Is he your brother? Like, I'm not joking, like a lot of people. Yeah. This is Ben Crompton. I'm Barney Crompton. He's my brother.
My company is called Crompton Partners.
And if you watched the one where we had our mum on, that wasn't a coincidence.
It wasn't just Barney's mum. Yeah.
Anyway, that's, again, been fun. Thank you for joining us, Rohan. I've appreciated your input.
Thank you, Rohan.
Your dulcet tones. Oh,
we have been the Two Fat Brokers and Rohan. I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Barney from Dubai.
Rohan from Dubai.
See you again.
Thank you.